This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
And welcome to the show. Ahead, TSN Director of Scouting Craig Button checks in from Switzerland. We'll get his take on the NHL Central Scouting final rankings featuring 54 WHL players. We'll hear from the TSN personality in moments. And the WHL playoffs presented by Nutrien heating up. We'll check in with WHL Player of the Week, Logan Stankoven, after leading his team to series sweeps over the Portland Winterhawks and Vancouver Giants. He put up 12 points in the series against Portland. A Moose Jaw Winnipeg, that battle heating up, now into a best of three following a big Winnipeg victory in overtime in Game 4. Warriors forward Jagger Furkus will be our guest. And eight WHL players are overseas representing Canada at the IIHF Under-18 World Championships in Switzerland. We'll have more on that. First up, Craig, first of all, thanks for making time for us here, and I hope you're having a nice little Switzerland getaway right now.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Obviously, it's a high-end tournament with some real high-end players. And, you know, we talk about if you want to know what the future of the NHL is going to look like, I mean, the star players are here, the first-round picks are here, and that's going to bleed right into the World Junior Tournament next year, because the kids that are here that will be drafted, they're not going to be in the NHL. So it's just a real great opportunity to see how they progressed and then how they come together as a team.
Okay, so let's get your take on NHL Central Scouting. The final rankings featured 54 WHL players. As always, this list is just one of several lists here, but as you look at it, no surprise at the top with Connor Bedard, but as you compare your notes with Central Scouting, does anything jump off the page with you when it comes to WHL talent, Craig?
No, I think that people that cover the WHL understood that this year was going to be a really good year for the players coming out of the WHL. I mean, we saw that last year when the players were 16, and certainly how they shone with their respective teams. And they haven't done anything but impress again in their draft years. And sometimes players handle that differently. But I think the players in the Western League, you know, that have done a real good job of that. And, you know, there's always going to be different opinions. I mean, the NHL teams all have different opinions. But I think that everybody would agree that there's lots of really good players. There's defenseman Carson Bjarnason, who I think is the best goaltender in the draft. You know, from Brandon, you have some really slick offensive players. So when you start to look at the draft overall and you start to look at who you could choose from, what you see is some real quality.
Now, a couple players here that I wanted to get your thoughts on. Samuel Honzek just looks so NHL-ready at number 9 amongst North American skaters. He played with the Vancouver Giants this year. Maybe a shorter playoff run than what Vancouver was looking at, but see a big 6'4" Slovak that has a lot of tools.
There's no question that he has those tools. And you watch him up close, you know, he's big on the wall, goes to the net, he can make plays. And, you know, you think about how Slovakia hockey has really taken some real significant strides. They had the first pick last year with Slovakia. Dalibor Dvorsky is going to be a first-round draft pick. Honzik's going to be a first-round draft pick. So Slovakia hockey is really good. And Honzik, I think there's a couple of things that really benefit Samuel. Number one, you know, he's playing in a league that, you know, plays to his strengths. Like, you know, he's not just skilled. He's also got power to his game. And then, you know, being able to adapt to the North American game, the smaller range, under the guidance of those are the things we're projecting players, and the NHL teams are projecting players. And knowing that he's in that development phase and really, you know, handling it quite well, coming over and playing in the Western Hockey League and then taking the coaching of Mike Dick, I mean, that gives NHL teams a lot of confidence in being able to say, this is our guy, this is the guy we want to select.
I want to ask you about another one you're seeing there firsthand. That's Lukas Dragicevic, the defenseman who in his WHL draft year actually switched from a forward to a defenseman, and maybe that's why we see the offensive instincts, but he plays in Tri-City, and NHL Central Scouting has him at number 18 in North America.
Yeah, and, you know, Lukas played at this tournament last year as a 16-year-old, and then he didn't make the Hlinka Gretzky team. And, I you know, some players, you know, maybe the expectation is that they'd be on that team. But, you know, you got the best 17-year-olds coming out to compete for a spot, and Canada dominated that tournament. But for Lukas, I think one of the most impressive things is his game. He's always had this offensive ability. his game has been rounded out. He's better defensively. He's worked on his game to be really well-rounded. And, you know, here's somebody now that comes back to this tournament and comes back to this team, you know, full of confidence, but also with a real significant improvement in his overall game. I mean, he scores a fantastic goal against Germany in game two at the under-18 championship. His game has got more command on the blue line. And again, I go back to the NHL team. You're looking for players that are improving and working to improve and applying it. I think Lucas has done a tremendous job of that. I mean, his 75 points in the Western Hockey League this past season was not an accident. And, you know, you look at Tri-City, you know, they don't have a lot of support around them. They're a team trying to build their program, and certainly he's going to be a big part of it. But what he did this year was really, really impressive.
Great stuff. Now, Craig, when it comes to the goaltending side of things, of course, we've seen a little bit of some light years in the WHL, but right now the number one ranked goaltender in North America, according to Central Scouting, is Carson Bjarnason of the Brandon Wheat Kings. Again, first-hand look at him. I've seen him once. He just has that look to him, right? What do you see in Carson Bjarnason? It's really a great story there in Brandon.
The first time I watched Carson play, you see this great composure in the net, along with that excellent athletic ability. And for a 17-year-old goaltender, he's got this technical acumen, and certainly that's something that you always have to work on as a goaltender. I always say, goaltenders are like pitchers. You know, when you're young, pitcher can throw the ball 95 miles an hour, but you got to learn how to pitch. And a goaltender at a young age, you know, he can have the athleticism and he can move quick, but he's got to learn how to goaltend. And I think Carson's a little bit advanced in that regard. He's so smart in reading the play, anticipating the play, knowing where the next challenges are coming from. His athleticism is outstanding. And, you know, I compared him at the same age to Jake Oettinger, the Dallas Stars. But Justin Pogge, who is here working with the goaltenders with Team Canada at the under-18 championships, he said, you know, he reminds me a little bit of Carey Price. Well, I mean, Jake Oettinger is a real top-notch goaltender in the NHL. We know what Carey Price has been. That's two different opinions, but using pretty high-end comparable NHL goalies as somebody that Carson resembles. So I think that he has everything you need to be, and I want to emphasize this, a workhorse number one goalie.
And finally, you're overseas right now covering that tournament for TSN. You'll be in Kamloops as TSN, now the rights holder for the Memorial Cup presented by Kia. You have to be looking forward to that tournament and some of the powerhouses we could see for that 10-day event.
The quality of team and the quality of player that will be on display in Kamloops, every one of the four teams is going to have a chance to win the Memorial Cup, which is one of the most prestigious trophies in hockey in the entire world.
Well, we can't wait, and great catching up with you over in Switzerland, as our phone line would indicate here overseas. Great job with what you're doing, Craig. You have a lot of respect out there, and your information and your knowledge is top-notch. So enjoy Switzerland. We look forward to having you back over in Canada for the Memorial Cup here at the end of May.
Thank you very much. Really looking forward to being in Canada for the Memorial Cup.
From the drop of the puck to the Edson Out Cup, this is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Eight WHL players are representing Canada at the 2023 IIHF Under-18 World Championships underway in Switzerland. Hockey Canada announcing the roster. Seven WHL teams are represented. The Kelowna Rockets represented by two players on the roster. Forward Andrew Crystal, named one of the alternate captains, as well as defenseman Caden Price. Goaltender Carson Bjarnason of the Brandon Wheat Kings is on the squad. Defenseman Lucas Dragicevic of the Tri-City Americans. Carter Yakimchuk of the Calgary Hitmen, plus forwards Berkeley Catton of the Spokane Chiefs, Ty Haliburda of the Vancouver Giants, and Tanner Howe of the Regina Pats. Congratulations and good luck.
This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition, presented by the Western Hockey League.
The Seattle Thunderbirds will host the opening two games of the Western Conference Championship Series. They've gone through the playoffs undefeated so far at 8-0. Head coach Matt Odette likes his four-line attack.
Every line's dangerous. Every line can hurt you, and you know that's gonna be really nice moving forward with matchups and things like that.
and Odette happy they've taken care of the opening two rounds in the minimum amount of games.
Yeah, I think being efficient is important. You know, the less games, the less kind of wear and tear throughout the process is important. And, you know, we're happy to, you know, we've earned some rest and get ourselves ready for the next round.
Forward Colton Dock, 9 points so far in the playoffs.
The chemistry is kind of coming together, and you know, part of that is just having fun. And you know, I think as a line, you know, we have a lot of fun out there, and we just want to play the game.
Thunderbirds set to make their second straight trip to the Western Conference Championship Series. It'll open next Saturday, April 29th, at the Showair Center against the Kamloops Blazers in a rematch of last year.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
The Kamloops Blazers, hosts of this year's Memorial Cup, presented by Kia, are now into the WHL's Final Four. Coming off series victories over Vancouver and Portland, Blazers captain Logan Stankoven has put up 21 points in 8 games. I spoke with the Dallas Stars prospect.
With the WHL Player of the Week and off to the Western Conference Championship Series. Logan Stankoven, 12 points in the series against Portland. You take care of it in 4 straight. That's got to feel good to move on.
Yeah, it is. You know, after seeing Seattle beat Prince George in 4, you know, a little bit extra rest time doesn't hurt, right? So it was nice to close the series out as fast as possible again, and I give Portland a lot of credit. They battled, and we were able to kind of weather the storm there, so it was nice to finish it off.
You never trailed in this series, which is pretty incredible when you think about it here. Why did you guys, you know, seize control from these games to start?
I think a big start for us was key. We were always ready to go from each game, so it's nice to get a lead, and they always came back with an answer for us. So, you know, it's always key to get that first lead and then kind of go from there.
Your teammate Olin Zellweger capped it with a 6-point night to actually tie you for 12 points in the series. But what can you say about your defenseman back there?
Yeah, he's been lights out for us all year ever since coming over in that trade, and every time he touches the puck, something special seems to happen. So he's just one of those players, and it was on full display tonight.
Talk about the playoffs. You're 8-0. The Blazers haven't done this since 1984, go undefeated through the first two rounds of the series. Obviously gets a lot tougher now, but what a great opening two rounds.
Yeah, it's been really great for us, and you know, we have a special group of guys here, and something that it's going to be a special group, and so hopefully we can get the job done here against Seattle. And, you know, we kind of have a sour taste in our mouth from last year, and there's no lack of motivation for us.
Your top line, you know, you guys got to go in this series with Caden Bankier and Matthew Semenoff. You guys, at one point, you were in on 9 straight goals, which is pretty incredible. But you guys seem to, you know, want to get the series over with and get the week before you take on Seattle.
Yeah, it was a really good series for our line. It was nice to, you know, kind of contribute positively. And, you know, a big thing for us was making sure that we're not in our own zone too much. If we can get out of the zone quickly, it gives us more time to make plays and do our thing in the offensive zone. And we just kind of tried to keep it simple, and it worked out well for us.
Quick word on Seattle. You were 2-2 against them in the regular season. Each team had a regulation win and an overtime or shootout win like you did down in Seattle. And you pointed it out already. It's going to be a tough battle, but just your initial thoughts on the Thunderbirds.
Yeah, they got a lot of firepower. You know, it's going to be hard to shut each one of those guys down. But I think if we really show up and have a good start, that's going to be key for us again. And then if we just stick to our game plan, we've done it against them before. So if we can just stick to our game and make sure that if we do get up on them, you know, make sure that we're disciplined, that's going to be a big thing for us.
Okay, WHL Player of the Week and off to the Western Conference Championship, Logan Stankoven. Congratulations.
Thank you.
You're listening to the WHL This Week, Radio Edition.
The Scotty Munro champion for the best regular season record, Winnipeg Ice, avoided going down 3-1 to the Moose Jaw Warriors in the second round series. Zach Ostapchuk with a big overtime game winner.
Here's Zalotti left wing, rink wide, Benson in front, he scores! Winnipeg wins! This series is tied at 2! A power play goal, and it's a best-of-3 series coming up. We'll see you Saturday night.
Well, Ostapchuk spoke post-game on the series tying goal.
Yeah, I mean, big relief. I missed a breakaway earlier in the overtime period, and I wasn't too happy with myself. So to get that one was big for me.
How about overall, the way your group was able to play here tonight?
Yeah, no, I thought for the most part we dominated the game. We got lulled a couple times, but I think in overtime, I think we really dominated. So,
how important was it to be able to have every line jump on the ice in overtime and just continue to put the pressure on Moose Jaw?
Yeah, well, we're a really deep team. We trust all lines. So, I mean, we're never at a disadvantage. And I guess we don't feel like we are when our third and fourth line's out there. So, I mean, they did a really good job. And I think, we were just able to get it done.
Does this feel like a momentum shift type game?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, those overtime games, when you win those, it definitely gives you a little pep in your step for the next game. So, yeah, we're happy, and we're going to take it into the next game.
Meanwhile, the Moose Jaw Warriors still feeling like they're in a good spot. James Gallo has more ahead of Game 5 in Winnipeg.
James Gallo talking with Moose Jaw Warriors playoff leading scorer Jagr Furkus as you guys get ready for Game 5 in Winnipeg on Saturday night in a series that's tied at 2. Jagr, maybe describe to fans and to others what this series is like on the ice.
I think it's been an exciting series so far. I think it's been close battle games throughout full 60. I think there's been different teams that have taken over the game throughout the course of the game. But moving forward, I think we got to work on a little bit of things, and we'll do that going to the next game.
Has it been hard off the ice as well? I mean, it's challenging. The playoffs are emotional. They're physically, mentally draining. What's it like been off the ice?
It's been not too bad. I think it's the second round, so it's starting to maybe dread on you a little bit, but it's nothing too bad. I think the travel to Winnipeg's not the best, but it's a Western Hockey League, so you got to get used to that.
Is it hard managing the highs and lows of a tightly contested series?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's something that we all are learning this year. I think throughout the series, there's been lots of highs and lows. There's been overtime losses. There's been times where we've been taking it to them, so it's just making sure we're staying even keel throughout the whole game.
James Gallo talking with Seattle Kraken prospect Jagr Furkus. The guys getting ready for Game 5 of their second-round series against the Winnipeg Ice. Jagr, for the Moose Jaw Warriors, again, it's been a highly contested series. For you personally, how have you elevated your game? You're leading this team in playoff scoring. How have you taken your game to another level?
I think I've just been working a bit harder. I think there's obviously every part of my game I've been working on a little bit, especially in the playoffs. I want to step it up a little bit, and I think I've been doing that, so it's good to help the team out.
Playing alongside Braden Jagr and Martin Rysavy, this trio has been very good. To maybe describe the chemistry and how you guys make each other better.
Yeah, I think obviously I wouldn't be able to do what I do without those two. I think they're two really good players, and they work off each other as well, especially Marty. He can fly, and he's a big boy, and then Jags obviously does what he does. It's a good line, and we're going good right now.
James Gallo with Jagr Furkus. Game 5 is Saturday in Winnipeg. Jagr, it's a tough rink to win in. Maybe give us a quick key to the hockey game for the Warriors.
I think our start will be key. I think the last two games, even the game we won here, this second one, I think we didn't have the greatest start. So moving forward, we can get better, get off to them at the start of the game.
Your head coach, Mark O'Leary, has talked about the ability to reset and refocus after games and after a tough overtime loss in Game 4. How do you guys reset and refocus for Game 5?
I think obviously we knew it was a tight checking game, so going to the next one, just make sure we get ready for the start. I think the start of last game would have been a huge difference. It could have been the difference in the win or the loss, but obviously we'll never know, and moving forward we can just do what we can.
Moose Jaw Warrior Jagr Furkus, Seattle Kraken second round prospect. Good luck coming up in Game 5 on Saturday night in Winnipeg.
Thank you.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
You probably saw some uniquely themed jerseys across the WHL this season, all in the name of some fun and some fundraising. WHL raised nearly $160,000 in support of Children's Miracle Network through the RE/MAX Presents Nickelodeon Night campaign. From November through March, RE/MAX Presents Nickelodeon Nights for Children's Miracle Network brought the fun and irreverent energy and characters of some of Nickelodeon's most popular franchises. SpongeBob SquarePants, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and Paw Patrol were all featured on WHL Club jerseys this season. And through the auctioning of special themed jerseys and other fundraising initiatives tied to the campaign, WHL clubs collectively raised $159,532 in support of the Children's Miracle Network. Hey, that's the show. Big thanks to our guests, and a shout out to James Gallo in Moose Jaw for his help this week as well. I'm John Keane. Thanks for listening.